Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the... Come on, where's 11th. My watch? 11th day of October, Anno Domini 2025, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because we are in a pledge drive. So before we get to the news, let me just remind you, yes, we are in a pledge drive. And I know that traditionally, when we are in a pledge drive, nobody calls because they don't want to say, oh, I'm not going to make a pledge. Well, you're in luck. This time we're doing the pledges online.
Yep.
So for those of you who will be pledging, all you have to do is go to jazz901.org. Click that big red donate now button and make your pledge. Takes less than a couple minutes, even if you're a slow typist. It's completely safe and secure, and it keeps us on the air. And that's what we need. We need you to do that. I've been looking at the number of people who download our podcasts and listen to the show and all the other yada, yada, yada. And if every member, every person who listens to the show contributed $30, which is the minimum, by the way, for the thing. But you can pledge any amount, you know, $1, $5, that's fine. But if you pledge $30, we could end this pledge drive real fast. And I know some of you cannot afford $30, but others of you can afford much more than $30. So hopefully it will average out. But all you have to do is get to jazz901.org and make that pledge. While you do that, I will read.
I don't know if we can mention it, but they got the sale going on. If you folks are into jazz and all that type of music, right now they've got over here in the school library a big sale going on of our albums and that type of stuff in the library.
In the Greece Olympia High School library. Yep. Yeah, you should. You should definitely check that out. There's some amazing albums in there. Just amazing albums. All right.
Actual vinyl albums.
Yeah. I remember vinyl. I was going to start this week's news talking about how there's only 3 days left before Windows 10 reaches end of life. But you know that by now and have either already switched to 11 or plan on being unsecured and buggy without any future support, including from us. One of the nice things about Windows 10, of course, was that you could use it without a Microsoft account, and you could originally do that in 11, too, until Microsoft closed the original bypass NRO workaround earlier this year. Then you could still use the start local only command, but Microsoft is killing that loophole, too. They really want you to use a Microsoft account. These workarounds have been widely used to avoid a Microsoft account or internet access on Windows 11 Pro and home installs recently. They're easy to use, so you don't have to create a custom unattended answer file to force Windows 11 to create a local account. A lot of Windows users simply want to avoid using a Microsoft account or just want to customize the user folder name that Windows 11 creates from the email address of a Microsoft account. Thankfully, Microsoft is now adding a way to name your default user folder during a session setup, although you'll need to use a command to get a custom folder name. Hopefully, this will eventually become a simple option during the setup process. Of course, many people don't trust Microsoft, which is why they don't want to set up a Microsoft account. I don't get that. You're already using their operating system. There's nothing left to hide them from them if they really want it. Anyway, this last little loophole is closed until we find another one. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft mandates online account for Windows 11. Your choices are, happy to do it. I don't mind. I'll create a separate email address. We'll find another workaround. Just one more reason I don't use Windows. And Microsoft would never do anything bad. So far we've got 35 votes, and just one more reason I don't use Windows is, about half of them.
Yep.
And, of course, you can vote in the poll. It's real easy. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Vote in the poll, and then give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. But first, go to jazz901.org. Make that pledge and keep this station and this show on the air. We count on you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. You know, in these parlous times, not a lot of government money's going out to anybody, but we don't get any anyway.
We haven't ever.
You folks are what keep this station on the air, and we could not be more grateful or prouder of our members. You folks care enough to keep us on the air, and we really appreciate that. Unfortunately, as opposed to just giving us a call or shaking our hands when you see us in public, the way we need you to do that is to make a pledge. And there are lots of levels you can pledge at, and there are lots of gifts you can get.
Tchotchkes
that you can get. And some are very cool. Or you can say, I don't want anything, and then the entire amount goes to keep the station going. But whichever way you go, please make that pledge. Jazz901.org. Hit the big red donate now button and keep this show on the air.
Well, you know, and it's, I don't think it's a lot to ask of folks, you know, like we've said, whether it's a dollar or, you know, whatever you can afford. We give up, and I know I harp on this every time, we give up our Saturdays right in the middle of the Saturday afternoon. I know I leave the house around 11 o'clock, and I'm sure you guys do around the same time. We don't get back home usually until around 3. That's a good chunk of a Saturday that we have been doing now for 33 years.
Will we ever learn?
Yeah, really. And that's taking our time so that we could come and sit here, and we don't get paid for it.
What?
I know, yeah, I want to try to break to you gently, but we're still not going to get paid. We haven't ever. But yet we come here and answer all your computer questions or try to look stuff up or resolve this or do that or help you find a better way or even keep you on top of stuff, the newer stuff like we're, you know, always talking about Raspberry Pis and Linux and the different versions of Linux and that. And we try to educate people on other things that they can do with their computers. And we do it all just because we enjoy what we do. That's why we've been coming here for Saturdays for 33 years, giving up our time from our families also that we could be doing other stuff.
35 years now. We started our 36th year.
Yep.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
I got CRS.
You're older than you think.
CRS.
Kraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, the time flies by fast when we're having a good time. And we enjoy coming here and answering your questions. That's why we keep doing it.
The crazy one I always find is we've been on Jazz for 16 years.
Yeah, that's...
I had someone this week saying, yeah, it's a shame you left that other... the other station canceled you. Well, yeah, but we haven't been off the air yet.
right. We've been here for 16 years.
Yeah.
And okay, so we've said this before, too. Rob Linton, who is crazy, he's crazy,
mm-hmm.
Thought, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a call-in computer show on a jazz station. See how that works. And it has worked, and they've kept us on, partially because Rob loves us and we love Rob, but also because we help keep this station on the air. And honestly, crass though this may sound, that's the bottom line. If this station's going to stay on the air, we need your dollars. Everything's getting more expensive. You know this. You saw the problem we were having the last couple of weeks with the phones. You know that costs money to fix. We need your support. And the only way we're going to get that support is for you to make that pledge. go to jazz901.org, hit the big red donate now button, fill out the form, done, perfect. Now, for those of you who don't want to take a hit but want to give a decent amount of money, there's Jazz-O-Matic. For Jazz-O-Matic, which is a minimum amount of $10 a month, but for $10 a month, for only 1 year, if you want to do it again next year, you have to re-up for it. We don't extend it. It's not indefinite. It is 12 months. You can say, I want to give, you know, whatever amount, $10 a month, $20 a month, $1,000 a month. It automatically happens. So you get, it's a smaller bite, but we still get the benefit of the larger amount. And that's always a beautiful thing. You can also do that on the website at jazz901.org. Hit the big red donate now button. Did I say jazz901.org? Hit the big red donate now button enough? No.
No.
I'll say it again later.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is doing some really, I won't go so far as to say they're Machiavellian, but they are tweaking things because they want your information.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, I mean, they already, I don't know what more they need. I truly do not know what more they need. Well, I do, in fact, because what will happen is, at some point, if you're using a Microsoft address, you're going to fill up the measly little 5 gig they give you.
I'm sorry, say again?
And then you're going to have to buy more storage.
The last workaround that I set a machine up this week that worked is I disconnected from the internet.
Right, right. And that works now, but the next version it will not.
Well, what I imagine will happen is once I do connect the computer to the internet after making that local account, it's going to say, hey, you must sign in with your Microsoft account.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. One of the things that's especially frustrating is Microsoft has been saying for years they're moving everything toward a subscription model.
Right.
And the stock market likes that. And then what, did they top $4 trillion market cap recently? And Windows is the last piece that isn't subscription yet. One of the Security Now podcasts that we're just talking about how difficult the last SharePoint patch was because of all the interdependencies. I've got SharePoint, I've got Exchange, I've got Active Directory, I've got this, I've got that. I've got 10 different Microsoft products. None of them talk to each other at the same patch level. And then I've got a dozen third-party products that tie into all of those. So you tell me to update SharePoint. Well, that's 3 weeks of taking everything down.
Yep.
Why don't you just move to SharePoint Online? It doesn't have as many features as the SharePoint on-prem works. And a new Exchange server bug was just found. So you got to update Exchange server, but then that forces you to update everything else, too. So many, especially small businesses who don't have the huge IT budget, just leave everything as is. It's working now. Yeah, we'll apologize if we get broken into.
Right.
But we can't. It's the bane of IT people. When everything's working right, the CFO, financial guy, says, what are we paying you for? When something goes wrong, what are we paying you for?
Right, exactly. What Microsoft is telling people is, well, you don't have a tech support group. You don't have a systems administrator. We'll do it for you and for the low, low price of a month.
Yeah.
Right? So I get that is enticing to some people. It is seductive. You know, I don't have to worry about this. You'll do it for me. Yes, please. But they have to get it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a problem right now.
Could be an issue.
And every little service you want is an extra fee.
Right.
Per seat.
Per seat.
Yeah.
Right.
You got 10 people, that's going to cost you 10 grand.
10 times.
10 times, you know, say 10 grand a month for this and that and the other thing.
Yep.
In fact, I'm hearing ads now for non-Microsoft products that will scan your, you know, like Rocket Money looks at your personal find. There's things that will do that. Oh, you're paying 10 grand a month for Azure that you're not using? Okay, let's cancel that.
Yep. And we see it more and more often. It used to be, we'll get to the phones in just a second. Mm. It used to be that you hired people like us to come into your business and set all that stuff up. Now nobody does that anymore. And that means that you're, frankly, you're being set up by amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably not optimal. You know, you wouldn't get some kid who read a book on accounting to be your CFO. You hire somebody who has a degree in
experience,
CFOs.
Yeah, right, right. Some background.
Degree in finance. Similarly, what a lot of companies do is they look around for somebody who's not busy and say, you're our IT person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to get what you're paying for.
Yeah.
You express a little bit of knowledge in IT, you know.
Right.
You fix somebody, you unplugged it.
Oh, I can plug that in for you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the IT guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In addition to all their regular duties.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's penny wise and pound foolish. But, you know, it is what it is.
You get what you pay for.
And Microsoft is saying, you can pay us. And I get that. I do. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Jack from Gates, New York. What's up, Jack?
When I log into a new website and need to set up a password, you know, I know enough to set up a big 12-digit thing that's got special characters and all that. But I bought a new laptop, and I need to set up the password when I press the power button and it first comes on. Does that password need to be a big, long, complex one?
It depends. How many people have access to your machine?
Just me.
And how many, and do you encrypt your home directory?
No.
Then it doesn't have to be big, super long, massive, no. The big thing about your password is it also is the key to a bunch of encryption stuff. So if, for example, you're in a business, absolutely, your password isn't long enough. I don't care how long it is. Because it not only locks your machine from other people getting at it, but it also is the key to encrypt your data, which may be important for your business.
And especially in businesses, it's also your Exchange password, it's your file sharing
password,
your SharePoint
password. It's one login.
Yeah, one login,
right.
Yep.
But if it's your home machine and you're not doing any of that nonsense, then it doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be, you know, A, but it doesn't have to be 16 characters and all that blah, blah, blah.
Now, a laptop that you may take places
should
be a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go up to get a refill on your coffee, and someone could sit down at your computer for 2 minutes.
Right. So the suggestion is a passphrase. That is to say, something you could type in that would be like, I don't know, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. Maybe not all of that, but you know what I mean? Then you've got something that's fairly quick to type, a phrase from a movie.
NPass will create it for you, too.
But NPass, you have to log in by hand to get to NPass.
Still,
so.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is it could, you know, if you're not imagining, you know, having a tough time coming up with a combination, you can use NPass just to, you know, just for my logon password, and then you write it down somewhere so you can remember it.
And it can create a memorable password rather than a string of gibberish, you know, horse 34, staple, monkey.
Right.
Yeah. Exclamation mark or whatever.
So really, some sort of passphrase, where do those stairs go? I don't care what the passphrase is. But something that's fairly easy for you to remember and type, but is long enough that it can't be guessed. It's not your birthday. It's not your kids' names. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've done the phrase thing before, but generally what I've done, it's a fairly long phrase, and I take the first letter of every word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
works. If that works for you, then that works. There's nothing. Again, you know, you want something that's at least 8 characters, but it doesn't
hard
have to be.
Guess.
But it's got to be hard to guess rather than, you know, hard to type in.
Yeah, I have one other thing I wanted to mention to you. I called a couple of weeks ago asking about whether service contracts for computers were worthwhile, and one of the things you mentioned to me was, you know, not only speak to the retailer about it, but check out the manufacturer.
Right.
That was good advice because it was a Hewlett Packard machine, and when I called up Hewlett Packard, the way they work their service contracts is if you don't have a service call for the length of the contract, they totally refund your money.
Oh, wow.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
I was glad you mentioned that, to not go with the retailer, to go with the manufacturer. So
there you go. Excellent.
Thanks a lot for the advice. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. We appreciate you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I've been having some issues with my new desktop.
Sound bite your name.
I'm not going to say.
Don,
I've been having some problems. So I was looking, I decided...
Out of the 100 million they made last month, one of them might have a problem.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I went and looked up when... I could have sworn I bought it in January. They told me that it was sent to me in February. So I've got till February of next year
for my one-year
on-site warranty.
Mm.
On-site warranty. So we'll see if I actually need that. But I was quite pleasantly surprised to see that I've got it 30 days longer than I thought I had.
Yeah.
So that's nice. But yeah, the service contracts, most vendors have some form of service contract. Most of them aren't on site. What I bought was actually a business computer, so they assumed it was in an office, and so they offered on-site support. As part of the package. So, thank you.
If your business computer is down, then your business is down.
Yeah, exactly right. So I took that. But having that to fall back on, I do my own tech support, generally speaking. Sure. But having that to fall back on is really, really nice. It calms the nerves to know that that's available to you. Never underestimate the calming power of a service contract.
And a lot of the big name companies have gone beyond the 1 year standard warranty and are now doing 3 years.
Right.
Maybe first year on site, but then 2 more years. And you can extend it at the end. I was working on, somebody brought in an old gateway with Windows 7 on it and to get erased of their data so they could recycle it. And I go into the about box just because we like to record what's there, and it said, your service contract has expired. Would you like to renew? I wanted to say yes and see what happens.
That'd be
well,
cool.
And I have the chance to, and now I have time to think, do I want to renew that contract?
Mm-hmm.
It's an on-site contract. I guess I'll take a look at what the price is and decide whether that's, it's insurance. I mean, you know, it's worth it for
the
peace of mind. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Don?
A couple questions here. One, is it possible that Microsoft is sabotaging in the background my computer and a couple others with curious changes that are being made? 3 days ago, the desktop, my neatly arranged desktop, was totally splattered and changed every time I turn on the computer, and all messed up. And I'm wondering, you have any idea what's causing this?
There is a file that stores where all your icons are saved.
What version of Windows?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's PC Windows 10, and... thinking that Microsoft is doing various things to really strongly encourage people to go to 11. And that brings up a second question about coverage and cost.
It's the desktop.ini file, that .ini, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what can happen is that file is corrupted, so it doesn't remember how you had your icons displayed.
Also, you might try right-clicking the desktop, go to View, and uncheck auto arrange icons and align icons to grid.
Uncheck that?
Mm-hmm. Uncheck those.
Well, if you want to put the icon where you want it to be, then you have to turn off those auto settings. Otherwise, you can't move an icon where you want it to go.
Well, you can, but then it's going to rearrange.
But then it jumps back, yeah.
Hmm, okay. I'll try that.
Also, under Personalize, Themes, Desktop icon settings, there's a separate setting called Allow Themes to Change Desktop Icons.
So maybe they updated a theme?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes this happens after a Windows update when they do add a new feature to something.
Right. So either of those could be where your problem is. All right, listen, you got another question, right?
Yeah.
Stay on the line. We've got to take a break, but we'll get back to you in just a couple of minutes. All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we'll be just back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Don from Pittsburgh, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. Sound bites during a pledge drive right here on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
We're going to get another YouTube strike.
Facebook just hit me a minute ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And
hey,
I'm Steve Ray.
I don't.
Yep.
It's.
Well, you can stop it now. We're talking. Thank you. And we have
I love rock and roll on the jazz station.
Yeah, exactly. And we have Don from Pittsburgh still on the line. Still there, Don?
I am.
Okay.
And, I'm sorry. I did not have time to write down the steps you suggested for getting the desktop to stay in place. What was that the utility I go to?
I posted a link, but it's a right-click on the desktop, and there's arrangement commands. But I posted a link to for a few things to try on our website.
Right. If you right-click on the desktop, there's a pop-up menu. One of the choices there is view, and there's an auto arrange icons and align icons to grid. Uncheck both of those.
Okay, auto arrange and align. All right.
All right. What's your other question?
Okay. The second one is the extension. If one pays for Microsoft software to continue to service Windows 10, one, does what does that cost? And two, does it cover completely what Microsoft provided before the termination date of Windows 10 for complete coverage and safety of the PC as they describe it?
Okay, so it costs, well, that's a very good question. It either costs $30 or $10. They had a sale, and I don't know if it's still on, for a day. And or you could back up your settings to the Microsoft Cloud. And there's a third thing.
Bing Points.
Oh, Bing Points. You don't have time to get Bing Points now. So you
should look anyway, because I did that with my customer this week, and he had 1,700 Bing Points. He never uses Bing.
Okay.
He thought.
Can't hurt to look. But what you get are security updates for a year till October 15th of next year. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to pay attention to the term security updates, because that's all you get. You do not get bug fixes. So, for example, in September, the Patch Tuesday came out, and there were 11 security fixes. You would get those. And 86 bug fixes. You would not get those. And those bug fixes are just going to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate until Windows becomes unusable. And Microsoft will not help you. And we cannot help you, because the solution would be to do the update that fixes the bug. But of course, you can't get the update to fix the bug.
So on our website, a few links down, there's the extended security update program for Windows 10, and that link has the information on how to get to it. But basically, you go to the Windows Update page, and it should tell you there
everything you need to
everything
know.
You need to know. Yeah.
So would you say then that paying either $30 or $10 for the continued software and what it provides and doesn't is really not worthwhile?
Not to me it isn't, certainly. But you have to make your own decision.
But if you have Bing Points or don't mind backing up your settings, then you can get it for free.
Well, but so even if doesn't really help you.
If you plan on running Windows 10, then security updates are better than nothing.
Right.
But yeah,
you should really think about moving to Windows 11 if your computer's capable, or looking at a new computer. Start budgeting for a new computer.
Or get Linux or Mac or whatever. But the reality is that what you get are security updates only. And so anything else you would see coming by for Windows 11 people, you will not get. Any new features, any updates, any bug fixes, you get none of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And on that link I posted, the first half of it is for businesses. So it's $61 per device.
Per device.
If you keep scrolling down, there is the Windows 10 consumer version.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and your website is soundbites.com?
.org, O-R-G.
.org, okay. All right, I will...
And that's bytes with a Y.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That's bytes with a Y, sound B-Y-T-E-S.
Right. Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen, and I will check the website and appreciate your help.
All right, thanks, Don. Yeah,
most people are saying, oh, I don't need to worry about that. I'm not a target.
Yeah, you are.
Everybody's a target because it's bots. It's not people doing it.
It's programmed viruses that are out there looking for stuff. And you know that on October 15th, somebody's going to release a bot that hits a whole bunch of bugs, not security issues in Windows 10, but bugs that will not be fixed.
And some of the things they don't consider a security issue are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Privilege escalation. Well, if someone can become administrator, that's a security issue.
That's a security issue.
That means they can install anything they want.
Right. So it really, what we're coming down to is the fact that if you are not upgrading to Windows 11, you are running an operating system that is going to be increasingly unsecurable and riddled with bugs as time goes on. And you certainly have the right to do that, but you should do it with your eyes wide open. Right? I can't stress enough that you should really be aware of what it is you're not getting with this $30 upgrade. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Brockport, New York. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. Okay, so got a new laptop. Of course, Windows 11. Was able to set up a local account on it. I used LapLink to transfer all the data from my Windows 10 laptop over to the new one. The issue that I have is... I had a lot of stuff that I had used Microsoft Publisher for, okay? and I know, it's only going to go away in, I think, next year sometime, anyway. So I try to use it over here on that Windows 11 account, and, of course, it goes to 365 and wants me to pay more. Well, I've already paid for the other thing. Did that data actually transfer over and they moved it someplace? I can't find it.
No, the program won't go over.
The higher version of LapLink will transfer programs, but they don't always work because of all the registry entries.
Yeah.
So you may need to reinstall Microsoft Publisher from your disk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If it will run anyway.
Yeah, because there's so many different things in the registry. It would make you blind looking at all the.
I've kind of plotted through it before, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very complicated, and that's why, you know, we always tell folks, you know, to be safe, always reinstall the software. Data, yeah, you move that on over, but always, even though you might see the icon there, reinstall it because it doesn't always bring over all the things in the registry.
Okay. All righty. That's it. That's all I needed to know.
That's all you get then.
So it's like your files were transferred, no problem. It's just
I can find the files.
Yeah.
with, you know, those extensions on it, but when you click on it, naturally goes to the new 365 they had on there, and they want you to pay for a new subscription for that, so.
Right. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that goes back to what you were saying about subscription services.
Yep.
Microsoft really wants you to be using Microsoft 365 either online or locally, but pay a subscription for it, because then that's steady income for them every year.
Yep.
Much you could be a Jazzomatic member of Jazz 90.1 for $10 a month. Same idea. You say $10, $15, $20, whatever amount it is a month that you can afford. And we get a steady income. We can count on that to continue to bring you the shows and the people and this kind of information. Where else, honestly, seriously, where else are you going to get this kind of information easily, quickly, with humor and with us? Nowhere. So you need to become a member, and it's real easy to do. Because you're a computer person, you can do it right online. You don't even have to talk to a human being. All you have to do is go to jazz901.org, click on the big red Donate Now button, fill it out. You know it's secure. You know it's quick. You know it's easy. And then you're done. Right now, there's a whole bunch of you listening going, oh, shut up about it. Mm-hmm. Except for the people who have already become members. And they're thinking, darn tootin', I'm a member. This is a good thing. So you could go from shut up about it to this is a good thing just by becoming a member. Jazz901.org. Click the big red Donate Now button. While you do that, we will talk to Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
Nothing good, nothing bad, I guess. A couple of comments here. One is that one of the previous callers, and you were talking about passwords and using, like, the first letter of a phrase. I did that for a while, and it was 8 characters. It had some numbers in it even. But, you know, that stuff's all done by computer at this point. It's not just kids hacking away in a basement.
Right.
And so you really should add special characters and make it 16 characters if you can.
Definitely on website passwords where someone can do a remote attack.
They should be 64 characters.
Yeah, but on the password for your computer.
Yeah, just for logging on, you turn it on, make it hard so, you know, like we were saying before, if you were, you had your, say, your laptop at a coffee shop and it's just sitting there and it's waiting for the password, you know, the login password for that somebody just couldn't walk up and quick guess it. You know, by hitting enter or saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, that's silly stuff. Make it, you know, it doesn't have to be as complex as if I was going into, say, my banking, you know, which I'd want, you know, 64 characters or longer, whatever it'll handle.
Yeah. Right. But for the login to your laptop, 8 or 10 characters is fine. Because 99.999999% of the time, that's going to be typed in. Just make sure nobody's looking over your shoulder. I used to have students do that to me all the time. They'd come before class to talk to me while I'm setting up, and they'd always watch my fingers as I was about to type. So I put my hands on the keyboard, and then I would look up at them and say, would it be simpler if I just told you my password? Then they'd get all nervous and turn away.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. Can we do it?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so the trouble with the desktop icons.
Yeah.
Years ago, I came across a program called Desktop Restore, and it works like a charm. It adds a menu item to the context menu. You right-click, and you can save what you got. And then later on, when it gets mangled, you right-click and say Restore.
Nice.
Back in biz. Yeah. Yeah. So the... 2 questions. One is sort of a statistical probability. I got 2 27-inch monitors, and one of them a couple weeks ago had just a red stripe going down the middle. And today, now it's got a green stripe going down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So how long do I have?
You're past the time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but... I mean,
it's already giving you some warnings by just having the line there.
Right. Yeah, but I'm cheap. You know, I'll go until it's dead.
Yeah, but I mean, I found on Amazon, I got it, matter of fact, 4 27-inch monitors.
Are we done with the fall Prime Day?
Yeah, I don't pay attention. I think so. But they were only like $112, $115 bucks for, you know, Sony 27-inch monitors. So right, if you look up on Amazon, you know, they still might have some lingering sales going on, but I mean,
then,
you know,
then
it's HDMI.
Come, and then the Black Friday sale and the Christmas sale. And
yeah, we already got Christmas stuff up at the store. It's disgusting.
As we're talking, the green line is flickering on and off.
Yeah, you better go searching
until it becomes too annoying. Keep using it.
Well, I would suggest turning it off in case it catches fire, although that is unlikely.
Yeah, it's probably just going to go boop and just...
But I personally wouldn't trust it.
Bad transistors.
Yep. Yeah.
I would definitely, while it's still working, go over to like Amazon or something like that and look for another monitor that you can get delivered momentarily.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, this is my second monitor, so I can live with the line. But
yeah. Yeah.
So my only other comment is, you know, I've called about this support I do for a nonprofit and all the trouble we've had. Well, we got a new laptop, and we got that nice new camera, and everything works great. So for all that great, I had to pay for it because Windows 11 is awful.
Yeah, it is. For a lot of people, it's a change, and people don't like change. Right. You know, and I get that. I absolutely get that. It's not a bad operating system.
Just shift things around is all they did.
Yeah, it's a Microsoft operating system, so it's a low standard to begin with. But it's not a bad operating system. It's just not Windows 10. And I understand that people don't want change. I get that. I do.
We've said before, though, that's how Microsoft makes money. If they don't bring out more versions, they're not making money and their stockholders get upset.
And that's the other thing that people are not entirely understanding. When we talk about the fact that there are a bunch of bug fixes in 11 that won't be backported to 10, the underlying code of 10 and 11 are identical.
Yeah.
So any bug that isn't fixed that is fixed in 11 is in 10 and will not be fixed.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. The XP was the last upgrade I thought was nice.
You and a lot of other people.
Yeah. Windows 7.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Go ahead. They reminds me of a thing I just read. Dell Latitude, more than 100 models, representing several hundred million computers, have a failure in it's specifically the Control Vault 3 driver that runs the fingerprint reader. And it makes any fingerprint work, not just yours.
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot.
Dell has a patch, so I posted a link to that. If you have a Dell Latitude, check to see if your patch needs to be updated. It should come from Microsoft Update, but Dell says that their patch, like most vendors, their patch comes out a few weeks, if not months, before Microsoft gets it.
Right.
Yeah. I hated to think about it, but you know this. I've got the Pixel 6, and I've been noticing just like my old 3, or was it the 5? I think it was the 3. You turn it, you know, you charge it up for 100% in the morning. Yeah, now what? I got up at 8 o'clock. It's only a few hours later, and I'm already down to 86%, not using much of it. And it's like, I might have to go get another one.
Look, you got to do what you got to do. It's a terrible thing to have to buy a new phone, but golly, Ned, you might as well do
the money. You know, they're not like back in when we first started, you know, you get a free phone. I'm sticking with Pixel. I love the Pixel.
I love the Pixel.
You know, I mean, I love getting a phone that when you purchase it, it doesn't have all that GD bloatware on it.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of the carriers do have free phone deals, but it's often the more expensive phones, and it's only free in the fact, you know, say it's a $1,000 phone, they'll give you payments over 2 years that add up to $1,000.
Yeah, it's not free. You don't pay for it up front.
And the interest.
Yeah. By the time you pay the interest, you could have bought two phones.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just buy my, just like this one, I buy it outright, take it over to Verizon, say, switch it. And then you got the cable that you can hook up to it, and it'll transport all your icons, excuse me, and settings from one to the other.
Let me give you a bit of advice. Do that soon. I did that with one of my phones because the battery was dying. It would not hold a charge long enough to do the transfer.
Yeah, well, I've already been looking at the 9A.
Yeah, there you go.
I won't go to 10. It's too expensive.
It's a nice phone, though.
All yeah, right. But for what? $1,000?
I didn't say that. I get it. Believe me, I get it. Microsoft spent much of... we got time. No, we don't have time. All right, never mind. We'll read that next.
Yeah, but no, I mean the 9As right now you can get for $399.
Yep.
And I figure, okay, well, I get that. And if it can last me another, 4 years or so, okay. Plus, it does have a little bit bigger battery. I don't need, I'm not doing all these pictures and the motion movies and everything else. I mainly use it for, as a phone, and I use it as a hotspot for my ham radio to get to the internet. But, so a lot of the features, I don't need. That's why I can go down to the 9A, or the A models, I should say, instead of going up to the Pro. A little bit bigger screen, and then yeah, that'd be cool too. But
No, I get it. It's the nice thing is you get choices. The bad thing is you have choices, and it's hard sometimes
with a hefty price tag to it.
Well, right, and so you think when we were talking about this with Apple all the time. Well, for another $50,
yeah,
and then for another $50.
Yeah,
and then for another $50, I get the low end of the better model. So, at what point do you stop saying $50?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did a Nick. Well,
and what we have seen from most customers don't look at the price of the phone. They get the newest, greatest phone, and they don't care that it's $50 a month or $60 a month. It's part of their phone bill.
Right.
Well, I did a Nick, though, this week.
Uh-oh.
I wound up getting this tablet. And it was on the Prime Days, so it was like a $129 tablet for $79, and nice. It's got Android 14 on it.
Nice.
And I thought, oh, heck, 128 meg memory and 256 gig storage.
Nice.
I thought, okay, because I want to run this one program, because my old one was... getting old. It was the old type A connector.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that well. It's slower and all that. And I thought, yeah, it's about time. For $79, it is nice, and it works great.
There you go. That's very nice.
Yeah, I can do that.
You can do that.
For $79, what the heck?
$79 isn't bad.
Yeah, they sometimes say the deals, they'll jack the price up, and it's really not a deal.
Right.
Yeah,
you have to be careful on Prime Days.
Yeah, raise the price 25% so it can go on sale for 10% off.
Right, exactly. All right, that music tells us that the first hour of this show is in the history books. But do not despair, all you lovely people. There's a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show coming your way. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you. But only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And hey, here's an idea. While you're waiting around for us to come back, why don't you head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red Donate Now button, and make a pledge. You know you want to. You know we need it. You know you want to keep us on the air. This is how you do it. Pledge whatever amount you can afford. If you can do Jazz-O-Matic, God bless you. But whichever you do, do it now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported. What? Member-supported? Jazz 90.1. Yes, we are member-supported. And that means when we are in a pledge drive, like, oh, wait, right now, we need your help. We need your support. We need your dollars. Let's be honest. We need you to head on over to jazz901.org and make that pledge. It takes just a couple of minutes, even if you're a slow typist. It is completely secure. And once you do that, you can be smug about the fact that you are now a member. And it's real easy to do. Just head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and boom, you're on your way. Go ahead.
So, and check the list, because a lot of employers will match your donation.
And that's a big thing. Why not double what you're giving us? We need that money. We need that money. We need to stay alive. You know, we've had shortfalls in the past. They aren't easy to make up, quite honestly. And, given our druthers, we'd rather not have to ask for money. We would rather have every single human being listen to this station without having to pay a penny. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Wish we could. The only way we stay on the air is for you to become a member. It isn't difficult, and it isn't terribly expensive. All you have to do is head on over to jazz901.org. and hit that big red donate now button. Before we go back to the phones, let me just say, this coffee is serious.
Yep. Everyone warns you that Derek makes strong coffee.
Derek, nice job on this coffee. This is acceptable coffee.
There's always coffee out there on Saturdays.
Yeah, it's usually there from Friday.
Yeah, that's why I asked, is this still fresh?
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Brighton, New York. What's up, Jim?
Hey, I'd like your fellow's opinions and knowledge about the probability of converting a Windows 10 machine to Windows 11. There are applications on YouTube, or at least directions, and so forth. So do you think this works, and is it a good thing to do, or what are the shortcomings?
How old is your machine?
How old the machine is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 years old.
10 years old?
That's
all right. Yeah. The thing you want to do is likely that it will not be good, but what you can do is head on over to Microsoft has a
PC health check.
PC health check.
We have a link on our site.
And there's a link on our site to that. And if you go to the PC health check and run that piece of software, it will tell you whether or not your machine can be upgraded to Windows 11. In your case, it is unlikely if it's a 10-year-old machine.
Yeah.
But that will tell you definitively whether or not you can do it.
Right now, it's still on the front page.
I know it can't be done. I've done all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
But these things that are on YouTube and so forth are ways to get around those roadblocks that... Microsoft has put
Yeah,
that.
You can get around those roadblocks. There's no denying that. But you're going to be so disappointed and so frustrated the speed of that machine, because you're literally putting a clamp on it to slow it down.
A lot of the roadblocks are there because the computer's just not capable. Now, say you had 64 gigs of RAM and a 2 terabyte SSD on a 6 gig channel or right. more. It might be okay, but the biggest stumbling block is the processor generations. If you're more than 3 or 4 generations old, the processor is just too old to have the features that Windows 11 needs.
and you don't have probably don't have enough RAM. You probably don't have enough disk space. It's probably a slow machine to begin with. The state of the art 10 years ago still wouldn't run Windows 11 today. And if it did, you would be measuring your response time with a calendar.
As an experiment, sure, go ahead and try it. But on your main computer, no, don't do
it. Yeah, your day-to-day driver, no, absolutely not. I'm sorry, but that's just...
Yeah, you need to look into another unit.
You know, as time goes on, the price of poker goes up. And we're at the point where the same old auntie isn't going to cut it anymore.
What do you basically do with your system?
Well, actually, this was a backup system while my main modernized computer was being overhauled, and it was an i5 machine, so it wasn't quite as bad as you might expect a 10-year-old machine to be. In fact, I'm not sure it was really 10 years old, but getting back to the other options, would it be better off to, instead of trying to put Windows on it, to put on another operating system, such as either Linux or maybe one of the other smaller
Chrome OS?
Any version of Linux. How much RAM do you have?
I don't have that in front of me.
Is it at least 8 gig?
It's at least 8.
Okay, then any version of Linux will run just fine on that machine. Just fine. I'm running Linux on an old machine that's an i3 with 8 gig of RAM, and it runs like a top. Now, I realize that could mean it spins around for a while and then falls over, but it does not. It runs great. I would say that on an older machine like that, running Linux on it is excellent. It will run fine.
Okay. One other question. Would you suggest, instead of using Chrome, you go to something like DuckDuck?
DuckDuckGo is a great and more private browser.
Yes.
So if privacy is your concern, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when you use a Google, for example, or you use Chrome as your browser, excuse me, that's good coffee, that you get data gets sent to Microsoft, to Google. Whereas if you use DuckDuckGo, if you use the DuckDuckGo browser, nothing gets sent. And if you use the DuckDuckGo browser and the DuckDuckGo search website, nothing gets sent to anybody. And if that's important to you, then yeah, absolutely, you should use those.
Yeah.
The one thing I have noticed is when I use a different search engine, I don't find the results.
Often
as,
you don't.
As fast. That's because Google has kept so much information about me, it knows what I want. But we actually had a big discussion about this at Cider this week, that Google is a search engine, and if you're using like AI to search for things, it's different stuff. The prompt you search for is not keywords,
right?
Like you do on a search engine. So when you know, if I want to know who won the World Series, then you know, on Google it's World Series winner, you know, 2025. But on a, you know, say Perplexity, the prompt can be different.
Right.
But, again, because Google knows so much about me, it finds what I want a lot faster. And that's the trade-off.
Right. Okay?
Yes, I think that gives me some good clues.
All right, and, excellent.
Thank you, fellas.
Enjoy, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the reality is that we have, look, machines that ran Windows 7 great 10 years ago really are not going to cut it in Windows 11. I'm sorry. That's just a fact of life. You can run, like I said, you can run pretty much any version of Linux on any machine that's 10 years old. Heck, 15 years old. This laptop is 15 years old. and it runs Linux so well. It's super, it boots up in 8 seconds. It's great.
Well, we've even said, you know, you can run Linux on basically the Raspberry Pis.
On a Raspberry Pi.
I mean, Pi Zeros, it'll still run good.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to stick with Windows, they're really requiring a much larger hardware set of capabilities than you need for something like Linux. That's not to say that Linux is slower or less capable. They just do things differently. And so you can do things in everything you can do in Windows, you can do in Linux, but you might use a different piece of software to do it, but you can do it. But the thing is, you've got to understand that it works slightly differently. And again, you know, if you don't want Windows 11 because it's different from Windows 10, you're not going to want Linux.
Well, and then there's a bunch of articles about how to make Windows 11 look like Windows 10 again, so you can do that.
Right. And there are several Windows Linux distributions that look like Windows.
Yep.
Shockingly like Windows. So if that's what's important to you, mm-hmm. the look, then that's how you can get it. You can get that pretty easily.
We had Adam Engst from Tidbits on Saturday this week, and he's writing an article. In fact, he just posted it. A lot of people don't like the new liquid glass interface on the new Apple right. OSs. So he wrote an article called "How to Turn Liquid Glass into a Solid Interface."
Nice,
because it's so transparent. It's sometimes hard to see mm-hmm. the control because you can see the thing beyond the control. But it's so.
Well, that's,
articles on how to turn off all the new features are very common after a major change.
That's what always surprises me about all these. In movies, you see these transparent windows, you know, phones that don't have a back on them. How the heck do you read any of that? Yeah.
Although, one of the new features, you know how in movies all the time, they have a tablet and they flick it and it shows up on the giant monitor?
Yes.
Apple added that now in OS 26.
Nice. That part I like.
One of the other things, though, you can still use is, I think it's called Classic Menu.
Yeah, yeah.
And
does that still work on 11?
Yep.
On the new version of 11?
Yep.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yep. Because the one PC that I have is got, you know, 11 on it, and I installed it on it, and can make it look like 7, 8, you know, 7, 10.
Nice. Okay. That's good to know.
Yep.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Gary from Greece, New York. What's up, Gary?
Hi, guys. I have a question about choosing a service provider.
Okay.
Right now, I have phone, internet, and TV from Spectrum. And actually, I'm okay with the service. I'm not okay with how much I'm paying. And
sorry.
And so Greenlight and Frontier desperately want my business for really good price for internet. But I'm wondering about the TV service. The TV service that I get it's a little bit above basic, but it has the local digital channels. And as far as I can tell, I can't find a streaming service that would give me all the local digital channels.
No, they won't.
The major ones, okay. Yes.
Yes, the major ones you can get. For example, I have Google TV. YouTube TV. And I get 8, 10, and 13.
But you don't get 13.4.
Locally, but I don't get 13.4.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It depends on what you mean by local channels.
Yeah, well, the 8 whatever, or the right. 21 point whatever.
Like some of those. So like now, CW is available, but
31.1.
MeTV is not.
Yeah.
So, no, or MeTV is not MeTV. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
But you can add, an antenna to get those. So
yes,
and depending on where you are.
An antenna.
There's a lot of services like YouTube TV. I use that also. Dave, you got Sling TV, right?
I got Sling.
And there's Hulu TV. There is a website I'm looking for now. I think it was suppose.tv or something like that.
I guess. I also bought a unit called Tableau, and that will record a lot of my channels on 8, 10, 13, and a lot of the others. And it's just a little unit that hooks up to my external antenna that sits in the window. And it'll record all those shows, that which I like being able to do, so I can fast forward through the commercials.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I like about the Spectrum service is that because it goes from the modem into my router, I have a decent Asus router, I can watch TV on my phone. Now, if I had an antenna...
You would need
a box. The Silicon Dust is the typical box, the HD Home Run. That it's a DVR for live TV, and will allow the live antenna TV, and will also allow you to watch it in an app on your devices.
Oh, all right. Because I could look at that. I was thinking of getting my internet service from either Greenlight or Frontier, and they offer their own modem and router.
Right.
And then continuing with the Spectrum TV and running it through their modem and my router.
Right.
Would that create problems?
No. Getting television from Spectrum, you don't need a router because you're not getting internet anymore.
But
if
you use the Time Warner apps without a Time Warner box, then
you don't get
all the Time Warner channels. I still say Time Warner, Spectrum. If you don't have Spectrum internet, the over-the-top TV service doesn't include all the channels. And you can check that by trying to log into your TV service when you're at work, assuming you're on a different internet. And if you're not on Spectrum internet, you can't see
certain channels.
Mm, okay. I neglected to mention that, yes, I do have a Spectrum box, a TV box of some sort.
And they started using the Xiaomi box. Instead of a traditional cable box, they're now using a streaming box for new customers. Zumi, is it? X-U-M-I? Yeah, X-U-M-O. The Zumo box. They're using with the Spectrum app on it. So you can use an Apple TV box with the Spectrum app. You can use a Roku box with the Spectrum app. You don't have to use their box.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good. But if after I cost things out, because I have to make a couple of phone calls and find out.
Of course.
If it comes out cheaper to get, let's say, Frontier Internet and Spectrum TV, there's not going to be any interference in signals between one apparatus and the other?
If you're also trying to get internet from your cable box, then yes, there will be an interference. Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would get internet from one provider and TV from another provider.
Right. So you'll have an internet router and you'll have a television router.
Right. Which is essentially the cable modem box.
Yeah.
But it's only doing coax.
Yeah. So, all right. So if it worked out cost wise, I'm not going to have technical problems.
Now,
it's going to be a little bit tricky to set them up, but once they're set up, no.
Spectrum will also tell you that, because they want you to bundle all three services.
Of course.
So if you unbundle, it's going to raise your price. Of that specific service, yes. But of your overall bill, no, it's going to go down because you're stopping services.
Right.
And a lot of people go to a cell phone only and don't have a landline phone. In fact, neither Frontier nor Spectrum are landline phones. They're VoIP phones.
Right.
We had a customer that really wants a Frontier landline, plain old telephone system phone, because that's powered by the phone system. So when the electricity goes out, you lose your telephone on Spectrum and Frontier Internet. So you put a UPS on all your routers.
Right. That's pretty much what you have to do.
But with a plain old telephone, that keeps running as long as there's power coming from the other end. But Frontier wants to get rid of all those copper wires. Well, they're all 150 years old.
Yeah.
So the maintenance involved in keeping those copper. So they're trying to push people away from Plano telephone and into VoIP. But a lot of people just use their cell phone. You know, in our house, you know, we transferred our home phone number to my wife's cell phone because she likes getting spam calls for some reason.
Good for her. Everybody's got a hobby.
Yep.
But yeah, I would, okay. For example, for me, when I left Spectrum, I got my internet through Greenlight and my TV through YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. And I save a significant amount of money every month.
One of the things that is going to happen is if you cancel Spectrum Internet, you will lose your RoadrunnerRR.com email address.
Right.
Never used it.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry about it.
Back when that was the only internet service and the only email service, we had a lot of people. And it's so frustrating to move email services and tell everyone your new address because people won't bother updating their address book. And, then I don't need to talk to them anymore. Right.
That's why Gmail was such a great thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gmail.
Those are all things you have to think about.
Yep.
And I realized cutting the cord is not as easy as, I think I'll just drop this and pick up that. There's a lot to think about, but you sound
homework.
Like you're on your way.
Yeah, I've got to make some calls and find out what the prices would be. But so that I can do. What I couldn't do is on my own is find out whether or not there would be any technical issues. And it sounds like I should be good to go.
Now, if you go back far enough, that's the way it used to be in the beginning.
Right.
Your phone company and your internet company and your TV company were all separate.
True. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Nowadays, we're running into so many streaming services. So don't count streaming services when you're doing your budget calculations like this.
Right, because they're not going to change.
Well, and you're going to pay for them anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But there are so many streaming services now. People are saying, well, we need to bundle our streaming services together so we can pay one price to get all of the services.
Do you know what that price would be?
Yeah. It's almost happening, though. Disney has been buying so many companies.
Yeah, exactly.
So now Disney, Hulu, ESPN, FX are now under the Disney banner. We're just waiting for them to buy somebody else to put Paramount under there, too.
Right.
So we have to get Paramount for Star Trek, but then that's how I got Tony and Ziva, too.
Right. Yeah, we cut out all of that. We cut out Disney. We cut out Paramount Plus. We cut out HBO Max. All of that.
Whatever they're called this week.
Yeah, right. All right. I think we got a couple of minutes to talk to Andy from Greece, New York. What's up, Andy?
Hi. The gentleman just called. Spectrum now offers a streaming service. So it comes through just like YouTube TV. You don't have to have a box or anything. As long as you've got internet, you can stream Spectrum.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think the channels are completely the same, but they do have a streaming service.
Yeah, that's what Steve said. You can get the app and stream through something else, but because you're no longer going through Spectrum, there are some channels you don't get.
Yeah. Spectrum provides the Zumo app, and then you can use Apple TV or Google or Roku or any of the other boxes
right.
to load the Spectrum app on it.
Yeah. Well, probably put on your Samsung TV, too, but it gets rid of the boxes.
A lot of TVs have an app store built in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just don't have to do the... One of the things that dropped my bill hugely when I left Spectrum was I got rid of all of the... The VCR box
That's why I went with YouTube TV is you get unlimited DVR, but only for 9 months. If you don't watch it in 9 months, it deletes.
Yeah, right.
I haven't watched.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
Months, I'm not going to.
Well, the problem. Oh, that's neat. Record. Ooh, that's neat. Record. Ooh, that's neat. Record.
Well, yes, I do a lot of TCM stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they repeat stuff twice a year anyway.
Yeah.
So everything renews.
Every time an old episode airs again, the 9 month clock starts over.
Right.
But did I tell you I embarrassed myself on Facebook the other day? in our Sunday chat, someone had pointed out Arctic Air drama, and then that got me into the Ice Pilots reality show. someone posted a picture of the Buffalo Air or video of Buffalo Airways C-46 taking off. Oh, that's cool. Do you know about this TV show? It's been on 2009. And look at who posted it was Mikey Bryan, the owner of the Buffalo Air.
Nice.
yeah, he knows about that show.
He knows about the show he's on.
He's on.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those shows he's trying to forget he was on.
Yeah, right. All right, thanks, Andy.
No problem.
All right, have fun. Yeah, there's a lot that you can do with mixing and matching your services, but you really need to be aware of what you get and what you lose. So, for example, when I went to YouTube TV, I no longer get the History Channel. So I no longer see brand new episodes of Forged in Fire. However, I have Plex, and I see there's an entire channel of old episodes of Forged in Fire every Tuesday or Wednesday. I forget which day it is. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Listen, I've been real quiet about the fact that we are in a pledge drive, and you people need to do your job. Get onto jazz901.org. Make it, hit that big red donate now button. Make that pledge. You do that, we'll be right back.
America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Now listen.
Now I want a pina colada.
I want you to make a pledge. We are in a pledge drive. We only come to you a couple of times a year.
Twice.
And ask for your support and your encouragement to keep a show like this on the air. We are pretty much unique, certainly in the Rochester area, and there are only one or two other shows like this anywhere. And this station has us, and we are honored to be here. But we need you to make that call and make that pledge so we can stay on this station. And it takes just a couple of minutes of your time and a few bucks. It's not a big deal. Just head on over to jazz901.org. Hit the big red donate now button and make that pledge. We need you to do that. And before we get to the phones, there is one item I absolutely must read from this week's news. For those of you who are not only not upgrading to Windows 11, but find Windows 10 to be too newfangled, Microsoft is happy to announce, and I hope you're sitting down, that you can now buy Windows XP branded Crocs.
That's a Croc.
The color scheme is the original Windows XP Bliss background. You know the one with the hill and the sky and the clouds. They even come with charms, those little tchotchkes that you can pop into the holes on the Crocs. The charms are based on Windows XP iconography, like the mouse cursor and, yes, Clippy.
Clippy!
The Crocs were, and I wish I were kidding about this, originally in a limited edition release, but are now available to everyone for the low, low price of $80. But, of course, calling us is still free, and there's not a Clippy in sight. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 800-790-0415. And while you do that...
Is that high for Crocs? What do Crocs normally cost?
I have no idea.
I thought they were cheap plastic.
Yeah. We're going to go back to... We're going to talk to Jay from Rochester, New York. What's up, Jay?
Oh, yes, I'm a member already.
Excellent. We love to hear that. Thank you.
Yes, I have Windows 10 on a fairly new machine, and I would like to keep it. Is there anything special I need to do to gain support?
Yes. What you need to do is to go to the Windows. Steve has a link on our website.
Okay. Extended security updates.
Yeah, and it's on our website. And if you go there and click on the link in there, it will take you to Microsoft's website, scroll down to the personal section, not the business. There's a business section and a private or personal section below that, and you want the personal section.
Okay.
And it will either cost you $30 or you use your Bing points or you back up your settings to the Microsoft Cloud, and then you get to keep Windows 10 for another year.
Okay, so the $30, I really, once I pay the $30, I don't have to do anything else?
Well, you'll get some information from Microsoft on what you need to do on your machine to keep Windows 10 for another year.
And just follow the instructions.
Just follow the instructions.
Yeah. And you'll only get the security updates. As Nick said earlier,
right.
You won't get the bug fixes. So eventually the bugs are going to likely cause an issue. But it does give you some breathing space before forcing you into Windows 11 or Linux or Chrome OS or Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably get the Windows 11 before the year is expired.
Yeah, but this gives you a little time to think about it.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that. One other quick question.
Sure.
I typed in last week on the Social Security on Google. I typed in my Social Security, and I clicked on the first Google link, and it took me to a false website. Doesn't anyone monitor that stuff?
No. No. The simple reality is that it's kind of the Wild West out there. What people do is pay for ads, and those ads are always the first links you come to on Google. And people can put anything they want in an ad, including viruses and all kinds of malware. So, yeah, you want to be very careful about typing your Social Security number into a browser.
Yeah, and I just clicked on it, and right away I get this massive instructions. My computer is effective.
Microsoft.
Immediately do all this. Anyway, I push the shutdown button.
Good.
Yep. What often happens is those fake websites will get reported and shut down eventually, but millions of people could go to it before
that
caught.
Happens.
Yep. Yeah, I was shocked that Google allows these infected sites.
Somebody paid them. Somebody paid Google to put that ad there.
What happens is people pay for an ad. Google looks at the ad, and the ad is good. Then they change. Then the other company changes the ad.
The ad hasn't been marked as bad.
Right. And then the company changes the ad, and nobody rechecks it.
Yeah, it scared the hell out of me. Luckily, nothing happened, but I'm sure they grab a lot of people.
I'm sure they do, and that's one of the issues people are having with paid ads on search engines.
On Google. I thought maybe they monitor that stuff, being a big company like Google.
No.
There's billions of queries every second. It's impossible to monitor.
Right.
All right, I'll be more careful. Thank you for the information.
Yeah. All right, you're welcome. Have fun.
Have a nice day.
You too. So, yeah, I was watching, speaking of Crocs, I was watching Idiocracy again. Not as funny as it was last year. But then I was reading, of course, you know, I can't watch a movie without IMDb. And I was looking at the trivia, and one of the things it said is that everybody in that movie wears Crocs. And the idea was, they went back when this movie was made, Crocs were brand new.
Okay.
And what they did was the director said, we need to put people in stupid clothes. So the costume designer went and found these Crocs, which were brand new. Nobody had ever heard of them, and showed them to him. And the director said, well, what if these become popular? And the costume designer said, look at them. There's no way. They're plastic. They've got holes in them. There's no way these will ever become popular.
But because the movie was popular.
Well, no, the reality is that they're cheap.
Yep.
They're easy to clean, and nurses use them. I don't know that I've been to a doctor's appointment that the nurses weren't wearing Crocs. And they're comfortable. I'm wearing Crocs right now, and they are comfortable.
Not a Croc?
That's not a Croc. And I know that they, you know, people laugh at them, and I don't care. I'm comfortable in them, and that's all that counts for me. That amused me. Look at them. They're stupid. These will never be popular. All right, back to the phones. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I saw a meme the other day. Clippy took a downfall. It was a toilet paper roll that had been bent. A holder had been bent to hold the toilet paper roll.
Right.
And the two screw eyes looked just exactly like Clippy.
Yep, yep, yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Gary from Rochester, New York. What's up, Gary?
Hi, I just have two quick things. One is I did renew my membership on the website, and
thank
you're
you.
Right, it's 5 minutes. It's
there you go. Thank
during
you.
The break, and I it's very easy. It's I think I've been a member for 15 years. I know.
Good
I've
for you.
Several of your shirts, and now this will be the fifth hat. So I can outfit a basketball team if they ever wear baseball hats. The second thing is, when you were talking to the last, not the last caller, but the caller before who was inquiring about mixing and matching different services, what's your experience been with Frontier's fiber optic cable if I don't want to switch to Greenlight?
I don't have it, but I am given to understand it's very good. I have no personal experience with it.
Well, maybe some if your callers
yeah.
have that.
If might. anybody's got Spectrum fiber,
yeah.
feel free to call in and give us your opinion. I do not have it, so I can't personally talk to it.
My son's new house is. He'd been there like a month and had got green light. It was one of his conditions on buying the house. Frontier showed up and handed him a flyer. Hey, you want to switch to Frontier Fiber? And I just moved in. I just got green
light. Yeah, right. I'm sure it's fine. You know, fiber is so much easier to care for, so much cheaper, so much easier to run, although harder to fix if there's a break. But that's why they, you know, stick in 100 bundle cable. But there's so the likelihood that it is fine is very high. But I personally do not have experience with it.
So one of the things is Frontier offers up to 5 gigabit. I think that's why now Greenlight offers 6.
Yeah.
Well, competition is good. That's what we wanted.
No, I'm getting 500. Oh, 5-6 gigabit.
The standard is 500 megabit.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I'll get off. I know you have a lot of other people.
No, it's all right. But thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Yeah. It's okay. So there's a lot of competition right now in the marketplace for our fiber dollars. That's only good for us. I know each and every one of the fiber companies in Rochester would like to be the only one. I understand that.
Monopolies are good.
Monopolies are good.
For them.
For them. But we all have our competition, and it is good for us. So, from what I understand, and again, I only have Greenlight, so I can honestly only speak to that from experience. But from what I understand from talking to other people, all of the fiber companies in Rochester are good. The quality of support is, you know, there are people who hate each and every one of the vendors, and they will tell you that their support stinks. There are others who love each and every one of the vendors, and they will tell you their support is the best
and
on the
both
planet.
Right.
And they're both right. But I cannot speak to the support again, except for Greenlight, which has been exceptional. But I do know that from what people have told me, the speeds, the quality are excellent on all the fiber cables. So you know, in terms of how good the product itself is, it's hard to go wrong, I guess is the way to put that.
Yep.
So I'm not sure that you know it. What matters at this point, I guess, is the support you're going to get and the deal you're going to get. So you know, in general, pay attention to the deals because most of them are a limited time deal. Some of them are for the first year. Some of them are for the first 3 months. So pay some attention to what you're paying and what it all costs. One of the things that I disliked about my old service was the hidden fees.
Mm-hmm.
What I very much like about my current service is there are no hidden fees. what I see is what I pay, and it's all I pay, and it's what I'm paying for. So, you know, I don't have to, I'm not paying any extras for any other thing. And so that I like that a lot.
Some of the, so the FCC's got these mandated broadcast fees, and Spectrum line items that on your bill.
Right.
So they can blame, well, it's not our fault. You pay $20 extra in all these fees. But so the streaming services, they're picking up that broadcast from somewhere. Are they just including those fees in your bill and not line adding them
that's
out?
That's part of why it's $79.
Yeah.
A month.
Well, it went up to 83.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, but yeah.
Most of the streaming services have a either discounted price for X months or free for 2 weeks is now the new one.
Yeah, right.
It used to be free for 2 months.
Right. So, yeah, it's cutting the cord is not as easy as just picking up the phone and making a call. There's a lot to it. I went through a lot before we decided on what we were going to move to and why.
We used to, every 6 months, we'd have Phil come to Cider and talk about all the new plans because they changed so much. We haven't had Phil for a while.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, we ended up with YouTube TV. And the only thing we aren't getting that I really wanted was the History Channel.
Yeah, same thing with my wife, and she loves the one of those Ghost Hunter shows.
Yeah, and so I don't get that, but everything my wife wanted and everything else I wanted were available on YouTube TV, so we went with YouTube TV.
Yeah, it's like when I first cut the cord decades ago, it seems. You know, I did a lot of my research first, and it took over, I'd say, 9 months.
Yeah. I had spreadsheets. I had, it was.
Which ones offered the programs that I watched? And you got to do it for at least 9 months because the way programming happens.
Right.
You know, during the summer months, you don't worry about it too much, but it's from September on into.
Now, on the other hand, my wife has had her health challenges recently. And she loves to watch Dancing with the Stars.
Living with you might.
Well, that does it right there.
I give the woman a lot of credit.
She likes to watch Dancing with the Stars and High Potential. But she can't really stay up that late anymore.
Yeah.
So I simply record both of them.
Yeah.
Easy enough. She watches them the next day. She is happier than a pig in mud.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't use that analogy. She may be listening. But she's very happy with that. And it works, and it's simple, and it's easy. And all it was, I want you to record this every time it's new. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Done now. Mm-hmm. Done now. And it's there for 9 months. So if she doesn't catch up for a couple of days, who cares?
Yeah.
I used to keep, I had an app that I would tell it what shows I watched so it could keep track for me to know what's next. YouTube TV does that for me now.
Does it for you now?
All the services do that for me. The problem now is the major broadcast networks, as Dave was saying, the regular TV seasons, you know, the new shows start in September, well, now October.
Yeah, October.
And end in the spring. But now through the summer, a lot of the streaming services start. So a new season of Upload started. A new season of Gen V started on Amazon Prime. What was it? On Apple TV just started a new sci-fi series. So all of the streaming services know that the other channels don't have anything new on, so that's when they put their new shows on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Play leapfrog.
Yeah. And it really is, you really do have to make yourself a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And write down for 9 months what you watch.
Yeah.
And it's got to be the show.
You'd be amazed
name.
At how much it is or how little it is.
Yeah. And it's also, oh, wait a minute. I forgot about that program.
Yep. Yep. And then I also have Plex, which has an insane number of free channels. Absolutely insane number. And I watch, I find, you know, sometimes when I'm doing something and I want something on in the background,
mm-hmm.
I'll put a poker channel on, and you know I can look over to hand if I want to. Otherwise, it's just happening in the background, and I don't have to hear it.
I've been doing that with a Tubi app.
Yeah, and so you know, there's a lot you can do, and a lot that's free.
Mm-hmm.
But for certain features like recording shows and things like that, you're going to pay somebody for something.
Yep.
Which one you pick is and of course each one. it's not only what service you pick, but which bundles you pick for that service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't pick up the sports bundle, which saves me a bundle.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't pick up the non-English channels, and that saves me money. So, but it depends on what it is you want to listen to and watch. And where you're going to find it.
And that was the supposed.tv link I posted, is you click what networks you want, and it gives you the streaming services that carry it and
right.
What their base fees are.
There's another one called Just Watch.
Yep, that tells you on specific shows.
Right, so you type in a show, and it tells you where you can stream it, where you can buy it,
yep.
where you can rent it, and it's good for both movies and television.
That's
kind of nice. It's called Just Watch.
Oh, okay.
I think justwatch.com, yeah. maybe?
And if you want to give them all of your streaming service credentials, you can watch everything from that one site.
Right.
I don't want to give them my streaming service credentials.
Right, justwatch.com/US, actually. And you can also just set, these are the stations I watch.
Yep.
And then it'll tell you if something's on those stations, but it doesn't let you watch them there. It just shows them. So I put, you know, Netflix and Prime Video and that's pretty much it nowadays. But I used to have Paramount Plus and Disney Plus and all of that stuff. But HBO Max.
There it is.
And all of those on there. Yeah. It's very nice. You can then say, oh, I'm interested in I don't care Alien, the movie. And it'll tell you where it's streaming mm-hmm. right now, or where you can rent it or buy it, and you know, that's really kind of nice. And I put Google Play on there, so it'll tell me if I can buy it from Google Play.
Alien Earth, new series on Hulu, FX, or Disney bundle, or something more to watch. Yeah,
that's on Hulu.
Yeah.
And it's on FUBU, but leaving 13 days.
Yeah.
According to Just Watch.
What's interesting is it takes place before the original Alien movie, but it's the ship that crashed on Earth. So my conjecture, I haven't seen it yet, but my conjecture is that's what caused the Weyoun company to reprogram Nostromo to go to this planet to find the aliens.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. And we'll see. And that's also you can subscribe. So it shows it's on Spectrum and Hulu and Disney Plus, and you know when
because it's on the FX channel,
right? So you can watch it. So I you know Just Watch is one of the places that I have bookmarked.
Yeah, I like how they separate where to watch and where to watch for free.
Well, exactly. So it's really very nice, and you can. And like I said, if you sign in, you can set your particular stuff that you watch. So it may say, look, you can't get it on your bundles,
yep.
but it's available here. And then you can decide, oh, I really need that. So it's pretty good. It's a pretty good site. It's called yep. justwatch.com. And so I tend to
write that one down.
Write that one down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's been some short clips. And it's like, you know, I'd like to see that movie, but I'm not sure, you know, where I can watch it. And it'd be great to be able to look it up.
And that's what does it. And you know, obviously, it will also tell you if it's in theaters. So, you know, not to go looking for it anywhere because it's still in theaters. So it's really pretty nice in terms of that stuff. Hey, listen, we've only got a minute left. So I'm just reminding you, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Please, please, I'm begging you, keep us on the air. Keep this show on the air. Go to jazz901.org. Hit that big red donate now button. Make that pledge right now. Don't forget. Don't put it off because I know you. You know you. If you procrastinate, you forget. And then next Saturday, you're listening to the show and you're thinking, oh, I meant to do that. Well, I'll do it next time. No, do it now. Do it right now while you're thinking about it, while you're sitting there. What else have you got to do with your life that's more important than becoming a member of this station? Let me answer that for you. Spoiler alert. Nothing. Nothing is more important than that. So go do that right now. Become a member of this station, jazz901.org, and hit that big red donate now button. Become a member. Give what you can. And I know that you look, I get it. It's that in this economy, as my daughter always says, in this economy, but we need your dollars. We're in this economy too, and we want to stay on the air. We want to keep bringing you this show. It would be a lot cheaper for this station. They make more money, or they might make more money putting something else on, but we'd like to stay. And the only way we get to stay is if we can continue to bring in dollars. You are the person who brings in those dollars. So please, make that pledge. Jazz901.org. Hit the big red donate now button. And if you do that, and we'll be back next week with a whole lot more sound bites, a whole lot more Dave Enright, a whole lot more Steve Ray, a whole lot more Nick Francesco, and a whole lot more you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Sound Bites right here on, what did I say, member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just 166 hours.